Welcome to Tribecast. I'm Forrest Walden, founder and CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness. And on this podcast, I am going to help you find your tribe and maximize your life. All right, welcome to another episode of Tribecast. I am Forrest Walden, founder of Iron Tribe Fitness, your host. Really excited for this episode today because we are off location. We are not at my corporate office where I normally do this podcast. We are actually on a two-day retreat with a group of guys that we call ourselves The Gathering, working on a better name and branding. Waiting on my buddy Cord to step up our branding, but right now
I think it's pretty simple and it's to the point, and we gather, it's intentional, but you're not sold on the brand.
No, I'm gonna work on that. We're gonna work on the name. But for now it's The Gathering. We are a year into this, and we are in Coosa County, which is right outside of Sylacauga. So for you listeners who are not from Alabama, we are overlooking a beautiful running stream right now with plenty of woods, and we're sitting in a house that has, I mean, just all kinds of creatures that have been hunted and harvested and mounted on the walls, from deer to turkey to bobcats. What am I missing, guys? Ducks. I mean, yeah, pretty awesome setting here. Huge turkey.
And you don't hunt much, do you, Forrest?
I don't. That's something I'm going to work on.
You said we harvested these animals. So
I thought that was the term.
Zach?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. It'll work. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay, so you can see there's a lot of accountability with this group starting right out of the gate. So why did we assemble this group? Cord and I have been friends for a long time. Let me tell you who's sitting around the table. First of all, we've got Zach Ships. We got Nate.
Duncan,
excuse me, got Owen Stubbs, got Jim Doggett, got Cord Sachs. I did a little quick calculation. Between the six of us, there are 25 kids represented at this table. And we have marriages represented from 6 years.
Just about.
With the baby down here in Zach. So not quite 6 years. And Jim, 27 years. So a lot of wisdom and a lot of mistakes and a lot of failures sitting around this table today. And so the reason we created this group is Cord and I have been a member of a lot of different type of groups. And he and I came together. He asked what I was going to be investing in this year for continuing education. And I guess it was last year what we were going to do. And I wasn't really sure. I thought I might get back into Vistage, which I ended up doing. But we really wanted to create a group that we have never experienced before, which is a group of men who come together who talk about their business. Yes, we definitely do that. But then also talk about our spiritual lives, our families, the things that are going on in our lives, and are truly real with each other and transparent. Mm-hmm. Because in my experience, what I've found is men just don't do that. They don't build community. They don't keep relationships for the most part. I know I'm generalizing and painting with a broad brush, but men tend to live in isolation. They tend to posture, they tend to lie, and they tend to hide. And so this, for me, and I'll let the other guys here speak to that, is an area where we don't have to hide, we don't have to pretend, we don't have to pose. We can just be real with each other. And what that does for my heart is truly amazing. It lets me live out of a pure heart. It lets me know that I'm known, that I'm enough. And so anyway, it's just a great time. We do it once a quarter, 2 days. And so Cord, just, you know, as we dreamed about what this could be, talk about what it's turned into and kind of the format of what we do in day one and day two and Olin's role.
Yeah, sure. You know, and I selfishly started this because just based on me knowing myself and knowing my own need, the desperate need to have men in my life. And I, you know, like you said, you've done Vistage, I've done Convene, loved the group, still stay connected with a lot of those guys. But I really needed, number one, I needed to get away. And I know in our convene group, we met, you know, for a day, but I needed a little more. I needed to get away from the distraction. And I needed to be in an environment with men that I know will shoot me straight. They'll hold me to the hard aspects of what I know I want them to hold me to, but I might not come to them every time. And so if I had a time once a quarter where I know I'm going to meet with that kind of group of men, I knew that would be healthy for me. That'd be healthy for my own personal pursuits, my own walk with God, my own just my own walk to be a businessman that's trying to be intentional with work, for my marriage sake, for my kids, as a father of six kids. I selfishly said, I need these men to hold me to being a better dad. And so we needed more than just a day. And I wanted to do 2 days where we would get away. And yes, we talk about business, like you said, but that would be the second day. And the second day we'd talk business, but the first whole day, all through the evening, through dinner, it would be focused on me first, my own heart, my own soul. And then secondly, my marriage, and then my kids. And if we could just focus on those three areas, and am I hitting singles, doubles, a home run? Am I striking out in any of those areas? I need men speaking in. I need that kind of cadence. I'd learned enough in my life that if I don't have that cadence in place, it doesn't go well. But now that I do, and we've experienced it now for a year, it's been phenomenal. I go back home better in all three categories and can give again, because I'm usually pretty depleted when I get here. So that was the
intention. And so we're a year in now. This is our fourth trip, and just want to echo something Cord said, because I've really experienced this over the last year. The energy you need to create in your business comes from being on fire in body, being in balance. And so if you think you're going to crush it in business and you're leaking power and your balance because you're at odds with your wife, you're deceiving yourself. Or if your body, if you have let yourself completely go and you're struggling with disease and lack of energy and you're not sleeping well, to think you're going to maximize the rest of your life is a fool's errand. And so, as I committed to you at the beginning of this podcast, we're going to have real conversations about what does it mean to have it all across body, being, balance, and business, and is that even possible? And so none of the men sitting at this table would say that's a reality in their life, but through holding each other accountable and having real conversations, we are all experiencing growth in all of those areas. And none of those areas are perfect. In fact, as you grow, what does that do? It creates more obstacles, more issues, more things, which forces you to then grow. And again, that's the focus of this podcast. Life is expansion. It's all about growing. And so I have heard some really awesome stories over the last day with these men, and I just asked each one of them to speak to a specific area. We're going to keep our body being balanced focus, and I'm going to ask one in each specific area. But in balance, Olin, why don't you just briefly introduce who you are and what you do? But I'd love for the listeners to hear about how you are being intentional as a father and how you lead your four children, and loved what you do for your boys when they turn 13 years old and create this ritual, this rite of passage where they literally become men. That's something that I aspired to do with my 11 and 8-year-old. So, Olin, talk to us about that.
Okay. Olin Stubbs. I work with Campus Outreach out of Briarwood Church in Birmingham. And do have four kids, have three boys, ages 18, 15, and 13, and then a little girl, 11. So really try to do good, my best discipleship at home. I don't know that I am successful with that, but that's certainly the desire of my heart. So there's different weekly meetings I'm trying to have with my kids one-on-one, just not just reading the Bible and praying, but trying to get them to open up with me. And so there's just a pattern of having healthy conversations. But especially for my sons, because there's such, I think, a crisis of manhood in our culture today. But what does it mean to be a man, and how do you know if you're a man, and how to define that biblically? When my boys turn 13, I take them on a special manhood trip, and I've done it with all three. I just got back from the third one last week, I think. And there's really twofold ideas. Partially, the kind of second half of it, so to speak, is I know that raising teenage boys in this culture to be godly men is going to be really hard, and there's going to be a lot of arguments and fights, and I'm probably going to lose my temper over the years. And so part of what I want to say to them on the kind of the front end of the teenage years is, I want you to come out of this thing being a godly man, but I also want you to come out of this thing being my friend and us still being close and enjoying each other. So a lot of the manhood trip is just having fun. We go skiing. I probably spend too much money. And it's kind of, I tell them, we're not going to do anything sinful or illegal, but other than that, we'll do whatever you want. And so it ends up being a lot of rated R violent movies with a lot of bad language that my wife probably wouldn't like them watching. No sex, but, you know, a lot of other stuff that they can watch in those movies, like Braveheart. And, you know, we go skiing, we go out to eat. They can get whatever they want. If they want steak and eggs for breakfast and then don't even eat half of it, and then go back to sleep and wake up and you know, eat Snicker bars for lunch and then go ski and then come back to the hot tub. And we, I just try to make it, we're going to have a ton of fun. But at night, we're talking about what does it mean to be a man. And so there's some simple stuff that in the grand scheme of things is not that important. I'm teaching them how to tie a tie, how to shave. But really what I'm trying to do is talk to them about what does it mean to grow from being a little boy to being a man. And it's really about taking responsibility. And specifically taking responsibility for those in your life that are weaker than you, primarily women and children, and to be able to protect and to provide, and also be a leader spiritually. So we usually read a biography of some great Christian throughout history to kind of get an example of, here's a snapshot of a godly man, and we talk about it. It's fun for me. I think it's great for the boys. And just, especially having four kids, probably a lot of y'all can identify with this, it's hard to get one-on-one time. So just even being away for 4 days with one of the kids, things come up naturally in conversation that might not otherwise come up. And there's just a deeper sense of connection even coming off the trip after that.
Man, that's amazing. I'm literally inspired hearing that again. Is that something you created or did someone teach you this?
Yeah, no, I just kind of had the idea. I had heard men talk. There's a book, I think, called Raising a Modern Day Knight. Mm-hmm. Lewis, I think is the guy's name.
Yes.
Yeah, Robert Lewis. And so I'd read that book and I'd heard some men, and he has it more set in a ceremony with lots of different men all raising their sons together, doing something together, which I think that's admirable. I'd heard some people doing that. But I still do have a great relationship with my dad growing up, but it was primarily just he and I one-on-one. And so I think just from the experience of that with my dad one-on-one, he never did any type of 13-year-old manhood thing, but just the experience of the closeness of our one-on-one relationship, and then seeing the pattern in the book, you know, which is somewhat based out of the Jewish bar mitzvah of boys becoming men, that's kind of what gave me the idea, even probably when maybe before I had my first child, honestly. I saw some other older men kind of trying to apply that book, and I said, man, I want to do something like that in my personal life.
Well, I love it, because in a culture where boys are not becoming men, they're becoming killers and addicted to pornography and all the things we see ravaging our society, I think that's one simple thing that we can do as fathers is teach our boys to become men. Yep. And actually have a ritual where they know I am a man now. I joke before we got on the podcast, I'm 42 and sometimes still wonder, am I a man? I think I'm a man. I mean, no one ever told me I was a man. I'm an adult. I guess I'm a man. So one thing before we switch subjects, Olin, is like I got four kids too and things are crazy busy. In my household, it's all-star practice to school to workout schedules. How do you make time to spend every week one-on-one intentional time with each child? Because I want to do that and I fail. Almost every week.
It's super hard, and I feel like I fail often. I'll have seasons where I'm maybe doing it really well with three of the kids, and then another one is kind of dropping through the cracks for a while. So I haven't mastered it. But I would say it's twofold. First is the perspective that, you know, there's a lot of staff and people that I'm mentoring in the church and community, and with my job, that's what I do, mentoring college students. But a lot of these people, I might work with them for 4 years, and I'm never going to see them again. I've got to give my kids, you know, there are other people that can mentor some college student at Samford. Nobody else can be a daddy to my kids. So I have to have that perspective of, you know, second to Jesus and my wife, the kids are my priority. But then I try to be great about, I mean, sometimes some of the best quiet times, devotional times I've ever had with my kids have been when I'm driving one of them to school one-on-one, and I just keep a Bible in my car, and I'll say, get out the Bible. And they usually hand it to me, and I was like, nope, I'm not reading because I'm driving. And I'll say, is there anything that you want to read or study? And there's usually not. Every once in a while there will be. And I'll just usually take them to whatever psalm that I'd use that day in my devotion and say, okay, read this psalm. What does it mean? You know, what do you think that's about? We talk about personal application. We pray. I mean, it's amazing. You can have a great, connective conversation 10 minutes in the car on the ride to school. So there's a lot of times it's on the drive to a practice or something, but I'm just trying to redeem the time. Otherwise, it's you wake up a little bit earlier, you tell them ahead of time, I'm going to wake you up a little earlier in the morning, or you catch them at night before they go to bed and say, hey, get your Bible, come in my bedroom, you know, turn off the TV,
If they
get off your phone.
Yeah, get off your phone. And if, you know, they were on the PlayStation, it's like, come do this. This is more important. And I promise I'll let you get back on the PlayStation, even though your brother's going to get on it while you're away reading the Bible. And that gives them a little extra motivation to do it. But I do, I mean, it has to be intentionally. And I'll tell you one thing is that's one of my main accountability things is I have people, hey, ask me about this. Because if I don't, 2 months will go by and I'll realize, crap, that was a goal and I've dropped it.
Well, fantastic, because we just put it out to the whole world, so you've got all kinds of people who are going to come up and ask you. Now,
ask me.
I mean, that right there was worth the price of admission. That I'll probably have to have you back on the podcast to keep talking about that. We could go deep on that. Basically, what you just taught me is how to use your net time, no extra time, right? And people always ask me, like, how do you read so many books? How do you listen to so many podcasts? Because my automobile is a university. No radio, no music. It's education time. But you just taught me, man, it can be a discipleship university. Like, my automobile could be used, and that's no extra time. That's time I'm spending anyway. So, fantastic. Nate, I want to shift the conversation to you. I want to talk about your business. You have an international business, and you are overseas quite a bit, China, Ethiopia, Tanzania. And I know that you get to use your business as missions. So talk to me about that and what that looks like.
Yeah, we do. Our company is called Global Cross Sourcing. So we started off as a sourcing company. We would help companies find manufacturers overseas, and that spanned from wheelchairs to medical devices to parts for power plants. So an opportunity came about to get into the construction business. So now we source mainly building materials. And we build apartment complexes all over the country. So one of the unique things about our company is everybody with our company is a believer. And the mission for everyone is to be the best at what we do to give us an opportunity to share Jesus with people. So, and that plays out in different ways. I mean, we have guys on the ground here that are at an apartment complex and just they're able to go into meet a tenant in the unit and share Christ, and we've seen that happen quite a bit. Other ways that's played out that's been exciting, just one story that I'll share with you. So we're doing some work overseas in Ethiopia, and there's a ministry called SIM, and 2 years ago they were trying to figure out how to do business as missions, and they weren't quite sure what that looked like or how to do it, but they knew that's something they wanted to do. So we partnered together with them on that. And What they decided is they've been in Ethiopia for almost 100 years, have a lot of great contacts, so they just introduced us to some of their contacts in the construction industry. So so we're now working with some of the largest builders there, and the idea is to funnel those funds into ministry. So it's working, it's going slow, and it's hard, and that's one of the great things about this group, or there are a lot of challenges with doing business overseas, and just to get the feedback from these guys and get their thoughts and work through some of those challenges and problems, it's been great. But every time I go home, I feel like I'm a better husband and a better father, and just get some clarity on the business.
So obviously Ethiopia is near and dear to my heart because I have a son from Ethiopia. So thank you for doing work there. There's vast need. So you're in the country doing for-profit work, but you're able to take those funds and reinvest them into ministries in Ethiopia. Is that what I'm?
That's the goal. Yep. So our desire is to leave all the profits in the country. We have another opportunity in India now. We're doing business in India. We need to hire somebody in India. So we want to hire somebody that's missions-minded, that wants to go do work and do work well, but also they have a desire to share Christ there. So,
and this podcast may reach that person that wants to come work in India.
Hopefully so. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's. Yeah. If you're looking for a missional business with that type of opportunity, hit me up at tribecast@irontribefitness.com. I'll connect you with Nate. Nate, thank you for that. Let's shift to Zach. Zach's the baby of the group. This is his second meeting. He's been married the least amount of time, but has a lot to offer, a lot of wisdom. He's at a different stage in life than the rest of us. He has a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and baby number 3 on the way.
In April.
So, Zach, introduce yourself briefly and talk about the prayer time you do with your wife, Sarah, on Sunday, and the scripture memorization you guys are already committing to with toddlers. Super impressive.
Thanks, Forrest. Yeah, my name is Zach Schiffs. We live just north of Atlanta. My wife and I have
you said, married about almost 6 years this June, and 2.5 kids, number 3 coming soon. And we've found that amidst the craziness of, you know, raising toddlers and work and the everyday business of life, that we carve out, we sometimes have hard times during the week carving out specific time where we all connect, try to do the date nights, but we've landed on Sunday evenings for us. We have basically call it prayer sheets, and it's a framework for us where we have 6 categories that we fill out, and then just talk back and forth and fill out these for the entire week. And so those 6 categories, the first one is my wife, Sarah, and she has a category for myself, your spouse. Second one is your kids. And then the third one's your family. And basically what we do is we go each day, talk through it, what's happening in your life, and fill out something for each box that week so that we can be, whether we're praying together or not on a certain day, we're at least praying in the same direction and in tandem with each other on the same topics. And then the next Sunday, we'll look back and review the week, where we're at, what we prayed through, and then preview for the next week, redo this again. And then the last 3 categories we have are family, who's additional family to us, friends, people who don't know Jesus, who's lost, who are we around, how can we be intentional with our conversations of the gospel and what really matters in life. And then lastly is ministry. What friends do we have overseas, and what ministries we support and come alongside prayerfully. So that's our Sunday evenings. And then with our 3.5-year-old and 1.5-year-old, each morning we've committed to spend a time in the Word together. And what that looks like is, this season is Psalm 100. So we'll read through Psalm 100 every morning at breakfast. And 3.5-year-old's starting to pick up on some memorization there on parts of that. And really what we want to do is model as a couple that we value in the mornings, first and foremost, getting our hearts right with the Lord, and getting a situation where we show that to our kids and they can join with us in it.
So what type of time commitment does that look like, both on Sunday night, how long are you spending with your wife, and even in the morning with your kids? Is that quickly over breakfast?
Morning's usually pretty quick over breakfast. We'll read through that together, pray together. Sunday nights can vary. It kind of depends on the season of life. It might take us 15 or 20 minutes to work through this quick, or there's been times where it's a couple hours and there's tears, and it's all based on intentional conversation and getting on the same heart level as your spouse, and really digging in and pursuing their heart and getting to know them better.
Well, I know in your phase of life, I think things are busy for us, but with toddlers and a pregnant wife, I know it's near impossible to carve out those intentional times. So the fact that you're doing that is super impressive and challenging to me. So thank you for sharing that. That's something I want to do with my family. Mm-hmm. If I could ever get them all sitting down at breakfast at the same time, that would be a feat in and of itself. All right, so we heard 2 different things on balance. We heard Olin talk about fathering his boys and his kids intentionally. We heard Zach talk about his relationship with his kids and his wife. We heard Nate talk about business and more than just profit, how to invest profit that never rusts or destroys, right? And then I want to talk to Cord about being. Remember, being is your relationship with God, but I'm going to talk about being in the context of business. Hmm. So of anybody in my life, Cord, you are the most focused and intentional about building what you call a missional business. And in fact, you've built a business model that serves missional businesses. You have recruited most of my staff through your company, Fireseeds. We've used your platform, WildSpark, to do team development. I have reaped from the fruit of your vision. And so I would just like to talk about, as you know, a startup of now 2 businesses back to back, top 40, under 40, fastest growing companies to watch in Birmingham, all this growth that you've had. How have you set up a missional business that actually, in the day-to-day, what does that look like to say, from the boardroom to the family room, I want to have team members that are being impacted by a missional business so that we can serve our customers who are trying to build missional businesses?
Right. Yeah, I think it's been a long journey to really understand. There's an old Dallas Willard quote that says the difference between that which is secular and that which is sacred is only that which we create. Mm. And so really coming to that understanding that there really is, you shouldn't live your life with dichotomies from your spiritual to your business and your family. It's just really there's one lens. I think God looks at one lens and he says, this is my earth. You're to be there and be fruitful and multiply and take care of it and fulfill my purpose. And for me, it's my business. That's where I spend the majority of time. Of course, outside of my family and my kids, my wife and my kids first, that's where I'm going to spend the most of my time. So I very early on, I just said, I really want to build my business in such a way to where, yes, I want to impact the clients that we serve and hopefully encourage them to also be very intentional with their businesses, but I have to do it within my own business as well. I can't just serve and provide an offering if I'm not doing it as well. So we try to be very intentional to just to align our priorities up with the Word of God. I mean, really, just, you know, the verse around, you know, without vision, people perish, and we think that has to do with directional focus. And really, the word vision there is especially talking about the Word of God. You know, that without our vision being aligned with Scripture, the people fail. The people do not prosper. The people cast off restraint. And so we just try to be very, very intentional to align our business with biblical principles, and especially our culture. So our culture, yes, first we have to be very excellent with how we do business. That is worship. That is a way we honor and glorify God, by doing business excellently. And I tell my team this, if we are excellent, that will move us into being able to live out our third value of relationships, because we get to spend a lot more time with our clients because they call us back and they use us over and over again. And we can then be very relationally focused with an agenda then to think holistically about that individual or that client's culture, where they could begin to think the way we would about how we want to build a culture that holistically impacts anybody that works with me, with Fire Seeds, with Wild Spark. If you come work for me, I want you to grow in all areas of your life. And one of those areas is spiritually. It's just there's no dichotomy between the different areas of your life either. And so we've really tried to build a culture that helps grow people holistically. And some very practical things that we do. I mean, we start every Monday off with commune and connect. We commune with God together. We get in the Word together. We pray together, and then we just connect. We connect relationally around anything personally. It's free reign to talk about anything personal for 2 minutes in your life. Could just be your weekend. Could be a challenge. Could be something exciting that's happening. And we do it every Monday. And we commit to that, and it keeps our team connected relationally. And then obviously we start in the Word of God. Once a quarter, we pull everybody off on my dime, and I have. I share the vision, mission, and values of who we are and what we do, and then I give them a half day to personally plan and think for their lives. And I want them on my dime to think very intentionally about how they're going to invest in their family domain on our business time, because that's what's the most important thing. You said earlier, boardroom to family room is one of our culture principles. That if I can help my people hit their home runs in their family room, where it matters most to them, they're going to help me hit my home run in the boardroom, where it matters most in my business, if you will, from a bottom line standpoint. So boardroom to family room is a big principle that we see play out and want to play out. We have a core three culture code, if you will. I've said very early on, and I'll say this to anybody the first day they come work for me, I've built a culture and want to continue to build a culture that allows you to do three things. I want you to be able to date your wife, coach your kids, and serve in your church. And at any time, the business does not allow you to do those things. If you're here long term, then you need to come to me and hold me accountable to that. Because we want this culture to allow you to do those three things very well. And so I think our people appreciate it. I think that's why they come to work primarily, is because they know it's more than just the bottom line. But if you are excellent, if you do honor God, it is a byproduct. I mean, you do grow. It is healthy things grow. Really healthy things grow and multiply. And so we've really been intentional with our culture. We want to align it to God's priorities. And then just serve and take every opportunity we can to be unashamed with the gospel in our work. Yes, we help companies by finding them multiplying leaders. We have a recruiting firm, Fire Seeds. And so we find high character leaders that have high drive, that we would say have an intentional drive and an intrinsic drive to multiply their life into others. And so if I can find leaders like I've found in my own company and place them into other companies that I know care about multiplying their lives into others, there's a shot at me having an impact in somebody else's culture and with our clients. But I think that's best for them too. That's why a lot of our clients come and ask us to find them leaders. And then through WildSpark, it was just very intentional to help our clients build a very intentional plan to develop people holistically. So really what I hope to be modeling in my own company is what we've built our two offerings around, all to glorify God through multiplying movements of multiplying leaders in the four purpose market space. So that, I backed into everything that's happened. I mean, it really is, okay, God, where do you want to go with this next? My hands are open, and sometimes he has to pry them open. Being in this group allows me to, each time we leave, to have my hands wide open again and say, God, it's your company. It's your movement. It's your impact. Where do you want me to go next? And so the biggest thing I come away with from these weekends, or really these 2 days, is a posture of humility again, as I hear all the stories of what God's doing, but really just to keep my hands open and say, all right, God, take it wherever you want to take it, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. And that's a pretty freeing place to be.
Very well said. So much to unpack there. My list of who I need to have on the podcast is growing, because I could go deep on every one of these topics. But I do want to point out something that I think you, Cord, and Nate said specifically that I believe in wholeheartedly. You both essentially said, we want to do business with excellence, and through the platform of delivering excellence, have the opportunity to share our faith. Mm. What you didn't say is, hey, I am a Jesus Christ recruiting company, or I am Christian, and here's my Ithaca Fish logo, and it's not that at all. We want you to experience excellence in the for-profit space. We should, as Christian men, as Christian entrepreneurs, we should be the leaders in excellence and delivering value to our customers, and through that, people want to know what makes us tick. And so, really appreciate that about both of you guys' stories. So, Jim, we saved you for last. You are figuratively and literally our gray hair in the group. I've been married 27 years, also have four children. Five children.
Just one under, one less than me.
Yeah. Cord at six, Jim at
only
five.
Thing I can beat him at.
Olin at four, me at four, Nate and Zach at three. So, like I said, 25 children represented here is crazy. Jim, you have been married 27 years. And what has struck me about you over the last year, getting to know you in this group, is the way you talk about your wife, Kathy. The marriage that you guys have is really one that I aspire to with my wife. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what it's taken, some tangible things to be in love and to be actively pursuing each other 27 years into the game.
Well, I'm humbled to say that the earliest part of my marriage would not have been a very good path to follow for anyone who wants to be married well at 27 years. I came into the marriage infatuated with my wife, knowing that I loved her, having very heroic pictures of what I was going to be like as her husband. I had this picture of me slaying all her dragons and making everything great for her, and her, always looking at me with eyes of wonder and amazement at how great and awesome I was. Early on in the marriage, whenever I saw that my wife was struggling with something or having a difficulty, again, I felt like that was on me. I needed to fix that. I needed to correct that. And to be honest, regrettably, the first years of my marriage, I was spending it really trying to correct and get my wife up to speed to what I would consider a spiritual maturity level like I had. If she just had more faith, she wouldn't worry about this. Or if she just had more optimism, that wouldn't be a problem. So, unfortunately, I spent the first years of my marriage trying to help my wife become more healthy. In a sense, I was trying to disciple my wife to be more like me. And the Father, in his kindness, brought me to a sweet place of repentance, in that actually it was over something financial. I had made a mistake. I put some money on a credit card, and our commitment was to pay it off every month. And I had not done that, and I had kept it from Kathy, and she didn't know that we were, you know, a couple thousand dollars in debt on a credit card. And even though that I was handling the finances, and that wasn't supposed to happen on my watch. And so there I was. I was, one, hiding it from my wife, not letting her know about it, and just had every intention of getting that corrected as soon as I could, but was, you know, I was actually struggling. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, asked me if I, when I shared with him that I was struggling to follow through on a commitment I'd made, he said, have you talked to Kathy about that? And I was like, oh no, of course not. I could not tell Kathy about this weakness that I have, about this mistake I've made, because that would lead her to great insecurity. She trusts me with the finances. She knows I'm probably not great at it, but she thinks I'm doing okay. And if I were to share with her a failure of mine or a weakness of mine, well, that would just destroy her confidence in me, and that would hurt her. So no, I need to just work through this on my own. And my friend, you know, he wasn't soft or kind, he just said, no, I think you ought to tell her. And so I was like, okay. Well, about 2 weeks later, I got the courage to actually tell my wife about my mistake and my error. And of course, I expected her to pitch a fit. I expected her to rightly so yell or be ugly or tell me, you know, that she was disappointed, because I was disappointed in myself. Kathy's response to me when I shared with her that I had made a mistake was nothing short of just beautiful. What I thought when she found it out, she was going to be upset, angry, mad, and she had every right to be. Had that been her response, it would have been okay. But her response to me was just one of kindness, just initiating that she was with me and for me and that we would work on this together. And it just blew me away. And I'm like, whoa, 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 you got to help me here, sweetie. I expected you to be angry. I knew I'd failed. I made a mistake. And here you are hearing about my mistake and error. And yet you just have this energy of kindness to help me. What is going on here? And she said, you know, Jim, every day I go to bed at night with a list of about 100 ways I feel like I failed as a wife and as a mother. And you always seem to, from a distance, have it together and have faith and have optimism and have everything going in the right direction. She said, for you to tell me that you are struggling with something and let me in on a weakness of yours just makes me... It gives me hope that the Father can walk with me and help me through things. And it really allowed a part of my heart to come alive to want to come beside you and help you. And I was blown away. I did not expect it. But I think it was the beginning of the Father showing me that that was a beautiful thing that He created marriage to be. That as I walk a flawed life, attempting to do great heroic things but failing, but being honest with my wife, who really He has given as a gift to me to help me become a better version of myself, to be a better man, I began to see that God's way of growing intimacy in the marriage was not the way that I thought it was. I thought it was by me touching all the bases in order, executing, you know, the points, and then she would be awed at my greatness, and that would lead to more intimacy. To be honest, when I stopped trying to fix my wife and make her more like me, when I began to engage her out of my weaknesses and struggles and challenges, that's where the intimacy came. Mm. And it's been a beautiful thing. I honestly believe my highest calling as a son of God right now is to represent, reflect, and in any way I can reveal the heart of the Father to my wife. Mm-hmm. I feel like the world is giving her 100 messages a day about how she's failing and how she doesn't measure up. And I think women are particularly under attack with comparisons and thoughts of not having what it takes to be what they should be. And where I used to try to be the corrective voice and the discipling voice and helping her see the way more perfect, I have capitulated that crap. And now I know that mine should be a voice that sounds a lot like the Father's voice to her. And so I don't know where else she's going to hear it if she doesn't hear it from me. And I don't know who else she'd rather hear it from than from me. So complete shift in how I go about it. I have, I still, from time to time, am drawn to the heroic and the right thing for me to do every time I recognize it is to repent and to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'd rather enter into my marriage out of my weakness with a partner than, you know, this heroic ideal that I hold myself to.
Awesome. So much, I mean, just to talk about there is how we relate to our wives, trying to be the one who has it all together. And to me, that's a bigger symptom of how we operate as men in general. We don't want our staff to know that we go in and close our door and don't know what decision to make. Mm. We don't want our kids to know that we don't have the right answer or that we really don't want to go and do that thing with them, right? Or we really don't want to go to that game. Like, we hide in all areas of our life. And what, I mean, what a completely countercultural idea, Jim, it was to lean into your weakness versus double down on hiding in your fake strengths, right? And that allows you to live out of congruency and out of power. You know, we've talked a lot about power on this podcast. Share with the guys earlier, the man who walks in the room with nothing to hide is the most powerful man in the room. And so when you're able to speak out of a pure heart, especially with your wife who knows you the best, I mean, that sets you up to operate out of power. All right, so we touched on everything but body. It just so happens 5 out of the 6 sitting around this table work out at Iron Tribe, which is kind of cool. Atlanta, a couple Birmingham locations. We are not going to spend much time there because we got to get back to our 2-day offsite. They've been gracious enough to let me steal our lunch hour to record this podcast. But it all flows together. You could have it all figured out, and if you don't have your body working in order, guys, you're not going to have the energy. You're not going to have the passion. You're not going to live from a full sense of who Christ created you to be. Your temple, your one and only body, unless you're taking care of yourself physically. So that's a huge priority as well. We will be talking much more about that in future episodes, but I would just add that if you're struggling in that area, find some accountability. Hire a coach, join a gym, do something. Obviously, we'd love to have you at Iron Tribe if that's a good fit for you. But you know, one of the reasons it is great is 3 days a week, 45 minutes, start on time, end on time, will make the other 168 hours of your week that much more impactful if you give us 90 minutes, or in this case, 135. So I'm going to wrap it up. I just want to tie all this together and remind all you listeners out there that we were not created to live in isolation. And men are more guilty than anyone to isolate, to deflect, to lie, both to ourselves. Remember, we talked about it 2 episodes ago. We lie through acts of omission. We lie through acts of commission. We lie about what we've done, where we've been, what we've accomplished, either by minimizing it or making it better than it is. Or we lie on acts of commission about what we actually want. Why do we do that? Because we're scared to put it out there, because we're scared we will fail. And that puts us in a weak place of pretending instead of a strong place of producing. So to be healthy and to be whole, you need community and you need accountability. And one of the biggest questions I've gotten as I've been blogging on Instagram every day this year is, what does accountability look like in your life? And so I just thought it'd be really cool to open up what accountability actually looks like for me. This is one of my accountability commitments, once a quarter, to get away with these guys for 2 days. And I've got other ways too that we'll talk about in future episodes, but this is one of them. And so my encouragement to you is to find a group of guys that you can be real with, that you can sit around a table and let your hair down and not have to try to hide your guilt, shame, and fear. Because if we have said it once, we've said it 10 times over the last 24 hours, you are not alone. When someone was sharing something that the adversary would want to whisper in their ear, you're the only one who's dealing with this. Every single time another guy in this room has dealt with the exact same thing. There's only six of us here. And the biggest lie is that you're alone. And so the way to be secure is to isolate and to not share your junk and to post the great looking selfie on the great vacation and everything's okay. When in reality, you had a fight before the picture and your kids didn't want you taking the selfie. And, you know, like reality is so far from what's actually portrayed on social media. And so we're not going to fix that. We live in an ever-increasing digital world. That's going to go on all around us. But if you're listening to this podcast, that means you want to be different and you want to have it all. And so I say it starts by accountability with men that you can trust, getting away, letting the Word of God shape your time together. And I guarantee you that you will experience tremendous impact from that investment of time. Because I know if I went around the room and asked these guys, it's hard to get here for 2 days, to clear your calendar, to ask our wives to watch the kids, to handle business. I missed a basketball game last night. I'll race home for a marriage class tonight. Like, it's hard to get here, but it is so worth it every single time. So,
absolutely.
Guys, thanks for letting me invade an hour of our time. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, give me a like, share it with a friend, share it with another person who needs to hear this message. Share it with someone you want to start a group like this with. Say, listen to this and let's talk, and let that be a platform you to jump into community and accountability. We will talk to you on the next episode. This is Tribecast, a show for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs, and we will see you then.